Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to you all. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mudiwa Gavaza, and as we do each week, we get into some of the hard economics. And in the previous weeks, we've actually spoken, to a number of research institutes around the economy, getting into things like the Consumer Confidence Index. We spoke to the Bureau of Economic Research. We've also been talking to Banks of Africa with their transaction index, otherwise known as the BETI. But for today, we thought that we'd actually look at a new index that's come out. It's called the Altron FinTech Household Financial Index, otherwise known as the AFRI. That one is seeking to actually look at what the resilience is, in the market just around, households and, micro lending, very important issues. So to help us to unpack all of these issues, we are joined by Johan Gelatli, who is Altron FinTech's Managing Director, as well as Dr. Roloff Botha, who is an economic advisor to the Optimum Investment Group, who actually helped put together the index. Johan, I'm going to start with you. Greetings, and thank you so much for being with us on the platform for today. Maybe if we can get some insight into Altron FinTech. We know the listed company, what they do, some of the brands that fall under the group, such as Netstar and the like. But the FinTech piece of the business, what is it that you guys do, which actually led you guys to say, okay, fine, maybe an index of this sort is something that we should put together.
Thank you, Madive. I really appreciate the opportunity to be on your show. Altron FinTech predominantly provide software services and platforms to our customers. We're a company that create our own intellectual property, and the solutions that we've got deployed at our customers' premises and at our offices are all developed by our staff. And we're proud of having that level of expertise in our company to produce software of this magnitude. What we predominantly do with our software is to provide a platform where the microfinancing industry in South Africa can run their businesses off. So what this intellectual property does, it provides for an administration system in the branch where the engagement takes place between our customer and their customer. So there they go through a few steps. The first step is to make sure they capture all the FICA documentation requirements. They then do a credit bureau check to the credit bureaus to check if the customer is credit worthy. They then do an affordability study to make sure that the credit ask actually meets the criteria of the national credit regulator. We'd like to highlight to our listeners perhaps that we only service microfinance customers that are affiliated and registered with the national credit regulator. There's many microfinancing operations in the country that do not follow the national credit regulator regulation. So we service those entities. Once our customer has agreed with their customer that amount to be credited to be extended, that contract, that's what we call our contract, is then stored in our back office system. And at the set date, which our customers have agreed with their customer to deduct the money from their bank accounts, we take that transaction and we send that transaction into the payment scheme of South Africa. So we run the administration portion of our customer's business. Plus, we have the ability to collect the money due at the set point in time in the future. We connect it to via a sponsor bank. That is a bank that we've got a relationship with, and we diversified our sponsorships portfolio to other banks as well. And we'd continue to grow that portion of our business as well to provide our customers with robust, resilient systems so that they can be assured that the credit they're extending will be collected at the said agreed date. And we've got connections via our sponsor bank into the other banks in the country via BankServe. And that, in a nutshell, Madiwa, is what Altron FinTech is all about.
All right. No, thank you so much for that. At least we sort of understand the context, and it sounds like, you know, there's a lot that's happening, and especially, when you highlight, you know, all of the businesses that are, I guess, falling underneath the National Credit Regulator versus those that are not, and the type of services that you guys are offering there. I'm going to bring in Dr. Botha here to maybe get a sense, because in terms of the study, we understand that, the index that you guys have created is meant to provide insight into the financial state of households by assessing the state of micro lending from the perspective of, you know, borrowers' ability to repay loans. There's a couple of things I'm sure inside there. The first one, you know, just being, you know, there's so many different indexes that we follow in South Africa. Why hadn't anyone really, you know, put together something like this? And did you have any difficulty in actually, you know, launching something like this?
Hi, Madiba. Yes, that's a pretty good question. The answer is no. Nobody else has thought about this. It worked out well in the sense that there was a need for this type of research, which originated with Eltron FinTech. And, you know, this is my 49th year of gainful activity, not salaried employment. I'm self-employed. Although I am on a retainer at Optimum Financial Services Group, I just want to make the point, not Optimum Mine, the Optimum Investment Group. But yes, it worked out well. What has struck me, and the same thing happened actually in the construction space. So you have Stats SA tells you that the billing plans passed for the larger municipalities has declined, and then everybody thinks construction is down and out. Then a couple of weeks later, Stellenbosch Bureau of Economic Research says that their construction index is looking up, and it becomes rather confusing. So what we did is it's a composite index. So we have 20 different indicators which are weighted according to their relative importance in terms of what we want to this index to tell anybody who's interested in looking at. And that what the index is trying to tell us is what is the financial resilience of households, you know, in terms of being able to incur debt and also service that debt. Needless to say, the most important individual component of our index is salaries, because that's a huge part of our economy. I mean, almost half of South Africa's GDP is represented by salaries and wages. But there are many other sources of revenue or potential revenue. There's rental income, there's profits, there's capital gains. And capital gains is not only that's not only in the domain of companies or high net worth individuals. I know people, they go to auctions and they buy bric-a-brac stuff, you know, an old bicycle for $200 because they know somebody that will buy it for $300. That's a capital gain, or well, maybe you can regard it as a profit. There are sources of revenue, for instance, related to annuities that are paid out, to insurance policies that are paid out. And of course, if people surrender their long-term insurance policy, which I would never recommend, by the way. So, and we've covered our bases. Also, for instance, in terms of the collateral of your house, whether that house is worth 100,000 rand or 10 million rand, it doesn't matter. That is often the most important source of collateral to obtain a loan. So we've got indicators that talk to that issue as well. So we like to believe that it is a pretty balanced and very broad-based indicator of the financial resilience of households.
Maybe just as a quick follow-up, Dr. Botha, I see that one of the key takeaways from the inaugural index result is the fact that households have actually been found, the average household has been found to be better able to incur and to manage debt compared to before COVID-19 pandemic. This sort of a finding like that sort of goes against, you know, what we would think is common knowledge, because, you know, at this point, everyone would sort of assume that people are in a worse off place compared to, you know, before the pandemic. What are some of the reasons for, you know, that greater resilience that you guys are seeing?
Yes, it's true that there has been a recovery from the COVID-induced low. In fact, it was only during COVID, it was only the second time since the our base period for the index. You have to choose a base period, which is the first quarter of 2014. During COVID, it was only the second time that the index actually declined. That full recovery, interestingly enough, is correlated. The long-term trend of this index is very well correlated to the leading business cycle indicator. It is fairly well correlated to GDP in South Africa. But it has a couple of tricks in the sense that there are indicators that are not captured by the GDP. For instance, debt defaults, credit impairments by banks, and ratios of household debt repayments, the cost of debt as a percentage of their income. And we've included all of that in our index. So it's very important when one analyzes or when one digs a little bit deeper to look at the trends for each one of these 20 different indicators. What has happened since inception, quarter 2014, and what has happened on a year-on-year basis compared to the first quarter of 2020. That gives one a good sense of what has happened. COVID, of course, was a very weird situation. But despite that, if you look at first quarter 2020, first quarter this year, this is now first quarter 2020 pre-COVID. And you look at this quarter, there have been huge increases and even declines also in some of the individual indicators. For instance, unit trust assets, which is a basis for even people, you don't have to be in the top LSM categories to have a little investment in a unit trust. And that gives you over time, hopefully a capital gain if you've got a good investment advisor. And obviously, if your dividends are capitalized on that investment, at some point in time, you can draw down on that. And that increased by more than 33%. On a year-on-year basis, I mean, these are incredible figures. If you think about the fact that total salaries in the economy over that period were more or less stagnant. And that's why it's important to have a composite index, because if you isolate any one of these 20 individual indicators and you look at it, the trends, quarter-on-quarter, year-on-year, whatever the case may be, you're not going to get an objective picture of what is happening in this space.
I'm gonna ask Johan at the moment, because just from everything that Dr. Botha is saying, there's a lot of factors that have actually been fed into the AFRI index, and it's something that's going to develop over time. This is, you know, only the first, and we'll probably be seeing how all of these results develop over the quarters. And one of the most interesting things about a composite index, like what the doctor was saying, is the fact that you have you cover so many bases and so many factors that would otherwise fall outside of other types of indexes that are out there. So Johan, when you guys were first thinking about now putting something like this, there's usually a bit of a discrepancy or a difference between what you think something is going to be or to produce versus what it actually ends up producing. So from the results and, Dr. Botha has been able to, compile, how has anything surprised you along the way in actually putting this together? What you guys thought your index would end up showing versus what's actually been happening on the ground?
Dimit, I want to take you back to March 2019. And what happened in March 2019 when COVID started up and the government then legislated the various lockdown levels, and they then categorized companies that were essential services and non-essential services. And the industry that we serviced then was the microfinancing industry, and they fell out of the essential services sector. So we were dumbstruck that the banks were included in the essential services category, but the microfinance industry was not. So obviously the market fell off the cliff because they were closed for the better part of 8 weeks and they couldn't transact them then. Luckily, unfortunately, we're an IT company. We managed to pivot into some technical solutions where we transitioned the in-branch experience to an online experience where our customers could transact with with their customers in the manner that we have in this interview today. So that was then thought of as, so hang on. So what's happening to our customers' customers? And how are our customers' customers experiencing this pandemic? We then started engaging with Dr. Huerta on how would we measure the resilience of our customers' customers. And our customers were also then asking for assistance from us in terms of some alleviation steps that we could take to burden their expense base, and we assisted our customers in that space. But the one burning question was still, how's our customers' customers going to react to this pandemic? So Dr. Huerta put together this research for us, and I must confess, we were really surprised with the outcome of the research, because it indicated to us that our customers' customers are very responsible lenders. They're pretty resilient, and they were serious about the credit that they were applying for, and the most important serious point of that is actually to be in a position to repay the credit that they applied for, and that has been a marvelous result of this index for us. As I said in our previous interview earlier this morning, we're expecting to be back at the trading volumes of pre-COVID in 2019 January. So the market is steadily recovering, and our customers are getting more confident in extending credit, because they also sat in a precarious position where they were not too sure if people were going to repay the credit that they were extending to their customers. So by introducing this index, it is perhaps also an indicator for our customers to use this index to have some confidence so that they can perhaps adjust their criteria of extending credit to their customers. So it's a twofold indicator for us. One, for our customers to assist them in making decisions on who to extend credit to, and how the market is reacting to that credit they're extending. And then for us to measure, you know, the broader public and citizens of South Africa that make use of this credit. Because what people tend to forget is that the people that apply for this credit with our customers are working South Africans. Because they've all got a bank account, and they all have a pay slip. Because as part of the NCRs and the FICA requirements is that you have to submit the pay slip when you do your credit application. So these are responsible borrowers. They make use of these funds for emergencies and for expanding perhaps their homes or investing in a small business. So the credit is being put to good use. And that's what one of the outputs of this index has indicated for us. So we're extremely satisfied and ecstatic with the results of the index.
Perhaps as a follow-up to that, Johan, maybe you could give us some insight, because it does sound as if the index itself was born out of frustration to say that this is an important segment in the country. You know, microfinance, you know, it might not necessarily carry you know, the quantum of trades that the big banks, you know, carry, but for a significant portion of, you know, the country's population, it is a source of lending. So maybe you could give us some insight, you know, just to maybe illustrate how big microfinancing is to the country, either as contribution or just how you know, how much it's actually contributed, because I think you mentioned earlier on just how many people are actually in the industry, etc. So maybe ways that we can actually, you know, give context to the size of microfinancing in South Africa.
Microfinancing in South Africa is broadly divided into two categories. One category is the category where the microfinancers, so the providers, are not registered with the National Credit Regulator. And that's a huge category. The last report that we saw from a body in South Africa is that there were between 30 and 40,000 microfinance providers in the country that is not registered with the NCR. We play in the space of the registered NCR microfinance providers. So the next index, which Keith Lockwood would be introducing to us in 2 weeks' time, will indicate a body of research of the contribution that the microfinance industry makes to the economy of South Africa. And that will span to employment, investment, tax, and it will address a number of sectors and indicate and give you an indicator of what the contribution of this segment of credit is responsible for in the country. And for us, the output of that, I don't want to preempt that, was also kind of very insightful, and very promising going forward. And for us, it's an indicator which we feel, is something that that people should take note of, because this industry has got a huge role to play. And not to echo what Dr. Woodhouse comments this morning, there's some countries that's expanding this industry, and investing in this industry to make it a larger industry than what it is. Because I believe the relationship that our customers have with their customers, is of such a nature that they know those people by name. And there's a relationship between, our customer and their customers. And that's something that perhaps have gone missing, in a traditional banking environment, where people are trying to access this type of credit.
No, thank you so much for that. And, you know, we'll definitely be looking out for some of those results, especially when it comes to quantifying or at least giving us some idea or context into what the contribution, of microfinancing is to the economy, because there are all of these different indicators that we have, and that one will be a key one because so many people make use of it on the ground. So as we end off looking to the future, I'm going to ask you both, but you know, starting off with Dr. Botha, just to get a sense, there's so many indicators that we follow, Doctor, whether that's unemployment, which, you know, we recently saw some numbers coming out this week, whether we're calling it PPI, whether we're calling it CPI, so many of these different indicators that we follow. When it comes to this one that, has just been launched, where do you sort of see it going? What are some of the use cases? How do you think economic players will actually make use of this information as an indicator?
Well, obviously, the proprietary, the intellectual property rights rest with firmly with Altron FinTech, but its value is much wider than that, in the sense that if the media report on the trend in the index, they are eliminating individual little reports that come out from various credit bureaus, which unfortunately often portray the impression that, we are all down and out. People cannot repay their debt. We're all going to go bankrupt. And it creates confusion. It creates anxiety, even, in the markets out there. Whereas this index is pretty accurate as far as we're concerned, and we'll test the water as we go into the future. I must just tell you that our index, the Altron FinTech Index, has outperformed the GDP since its inception in 2014. And two of the main reasons for that, and I think this is very, very important to mention to our listeners, is that there has been a structural decline in household debt as a percentage of household income. And there's also been a decrease in the ratio of household debt costs to household income. And if somebody from the Reserve Bank is listening today, I just want to give them a little message. Household debt costs are directly related to the interest rate. For heaven's sake, don't raise the repo rate. This country does not need higher interest rates right now. We need to create jobs. We need to make it a little bit easier for people to access credit, because once they've got credit, whether they buy food, whether they buy petrol for their cars, or welding rods for their, for their welding machines, in many instances, the loans are being used as working capital by small businesses, and that's what we need in this economy. We need everything that we can do. We need to do everything in our power to create jobs in South Africa. For instance, also like a moratorium on labor market legislation for small and medium-sized companies. That has explosive employment creation capability, and it will obviously also benefit the microfinance industry, the regulated one, where Altron FinTech plays its part. So we're quite excited about this. We launched this today, and I'm convinced that this will become the benchmark indicator of what's happening in this space.
No, definitely. That's actually a big ambition. Johan, your take just around that one, we've already, set the bar with Dr. Botha saying that, he wants it to become sort of, one of those benchmark indexes that people look after, especially if it means that it takes away the minutia of having to look at each of the individual reports, over time that from which the data comes from.
We're excited about what the future holds for us, because we we're keen on assisting wherever we can assist in making data available. Because if we don't measure, we will not know. And we have to measure ourselves. And we have to measure the resilience of the South African working class. And because it's after all this working class that, and the private sector that's employing people. And this industry employs a large number of people. And if we can assist in a very small, significant way, by providing this index on a quarterly basis, that's our little bit in our contribution, to making our country great again. So we're excited with this little contribution that we can make, to measuring, our customers are managing their debt.
So that's been us. We're talking to the team from the Altron FinTech Household Financial Resilience Index. That is Johan Gelatli, who is Altron FinTech's Managing Director, together with the Dr. Roloff Botha, who is an Economic Advisor to Optimum Investment Group, giving us some insight into the index, which was released, first time this week, and some of their ambitions for where it's going to go. Dr. Botha just explaining to us that it is a composite index, which lends to its accuracy because you are taking you're taking 20 different factors, putting them all together, to come up with the best result. And he's actually saying that in some cases they've actually outperformed GDP since 2014. But more importantly, just talking about where it's going to be used. And Johan saying that hopefully this will help at least when it comes to credit extension, on the smaller level. He's saying that it is a big industry that, for some reason hadn't been made an essential service during the lockdown, but its contribution to the economy is, quite big. And, going forward, they will be releasing another index that's going to be developed by economist Keith Lockwood, just around what the contribution is of microfinancing to the South African economy. So, Johan, Dr. Botha, thank you so much for being with us.
Super. Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
This is Mudiwa's Take.
Quite a fascinating discussion around the development of the AFRI, and one wonders why something like this hasn't been done in the past. But the fact that it is being done, I think that's the positive. Let's be happy about that. Keep it moving. But more than anything else, just looking at some of the composite factors that are actually going inside there. We didn't get into too much detail, but they're looking at things like salaries, employment in the private sector, credit extension to households, the ratio of income to debt costs, the ratio of household income to debt, unit trust assets, household disposable income, long-term insurance surrenders, as well as long-term insurance claims, as well as short-term insurance premiums. There's a lot going on inside there. And, hopefully all of that helps to, make the index as accurate as what, Dr. Botha was talking about. So it'll be good to see, over time how the index actually develops and, whether or not it certainly does become that benchmark. But whether or not it does become that benchmark is something else. But I do think it's a good thing that, microfinancing is being looked at in particular because it's such a big thing. When the next index comes out, the one that helps us to, give context into the contribution of microfinancing to the GDP of South Africa, that will really be good to help to cement the place, of all of these studies going forward. There are big parts of the economy, big pieces of, the population that have largely been unmeasured. And like what Johan was saying, you don't know what you don't measure, right? And anything that can be done on that front will be a good thing going forward. We will catch up with them, maybe later this year or early next year, just to see how all of that is developing. And it will be good to see how the rest of the economic fraternity makes use of the AFRI, as they have other economic indicators such as PPI, the Purchasing Managers Index, as well as inflation and unemployment. employment. And that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter with hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. And this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.